Okay. So Yom Kippur is actually something of a favorite of mine in terms of a Yom Tov, because apart from anything else, it's my birthday. I was born on Yom Kippur in the afternoon at 6:15 to be precise, during the Ela. I'm lucky they didn't call me Neil, I suppose. Could easily have happened. All of that davening that was going on in the world, and out popped little me, 44 years ago this Yom Kippur was my birthday. So Yom Kippur for me is a day of reflection. I always had one relative in Leeds where I grew up that used to bring me a birthday card on Yom Kippur to open on Yom Kippur. He used to leave the flap open a little bit. So Yom Kippur is a day that I really connect with, and frankly, personally, it's been always a day that I really enjoyed. Some people, I think, feel that Yom Kippur is a sad day or a hard day. And depending on people, maybe it is a hard day, but I want to try and present you some sources here and some ideas to really give us an insight into what the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is all about. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs, the mitzvah of V'initem et nafshei seichem, the mitzvah to afflict ourselves on Yom Kippur. Perhaps one of the most misunderstood mitzvahs in the entire Torah, and certainly the last thing I feel like doing on my birthday is afflicting myself. So I just really want to look with you at how this mitzvah is expressed across different sources. We'll have Rishonim and Acharonim, and Hasidic sources and non-Hasidic sources, and we'll see a little bit that this mitzvah V'initem, I've entitled the shiur Simcha or Affliction, and I'm going to clearly come down on the side of Simcha rather than affliction. In fact, affliction is a very poor translation. As with all translations, they don't always capture the exact meaning of the Hebrew word. So let's have a look at the source. They won't have access to the sources. We have on the sheet here about 30 sources. We won't necessarily read them all, but they should give us an overall flavor as to where we're trying to head for on this particular issue. First of all, two psukim, which parallel each other. One is what we look to God to do on Yom Kippur, and one is what God looks to us to do on Yom Kippur. First of all, number one. Very famous, we sing it so many times during the Yom Kippur service. Kiva Yom Hazer, you're already singing it now. I can already hear you singing it. Kiva Yom Hazer Yechata Aleichem, because on this day, the day will atone for you, to purify you from all your sins. You will become pure before God. This idea of kapara, which is a protection from punishment. Usually the word kapara is a covering for something. Tfor is frost, and kofel is the pitch that they put on the ark. On the Noah's Ark and the Teva. So this is the day of Kapara and Tahara and purity. That's what we look to God to do for us, somehow to cleanse, somehow to purify, like a mikveh, the very famous idea that Hashem is described as Mikveh Israel, that God is the hope of Israel, play on words, both the mikveh and also the mikveh, the purifying waters in which we can cleanse ourselves. But we have an obligation. And as I said, this is one of the 613 mitzvahs. Look at the expression of this in number 2. Shabbat Shabbaton Hulachem. Now that's going to be a phrase we're going to come back to. Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a double Shabbat. V'initem et nafshoteichem. You have to, let's translate it as afflict. Can anyone think of a better word than afflict? Initem, inui. It's hard to translate it. We'll use afflict for now, although I don't like the word. Torture, that's lovely. Okay, I think we're going from bad to worse. Okay, if anyone thinks something better than torture, I'd be happy to hear it. You will afflict, what's that? To try somebody. As in to try their patience? Or try them, put them on trial? We'll see. You will afflict your soul. B'tish al chodesh, on the 9th of the month, ba'eret, in the evening, Me'eret ad eret, from the evening to the evening, tish v'tu shabbatchem. You have to rest your resting. Now, the word, of course, which sticks out most in that pasuk is Shabbat. Four times. Shabbat, Shabbaton, and at the end, tish v'tu shabbatchem. So whatever we know about Yom Kippur, it's like Shabbos, like on steroids. It's Shabbos, like very, very intense Shabbos. It's Shabbos of Shabboses, and you have to Shabbos your Shabbos. So we'll see what the Mepharshim do about that, this idea. We'll also look at the V'initem. Of course, in halachic terms, the expression of these afflictions, quote-unquote, these inuyim, are fine. We learn them out from a pasuk. The five, of course, are eating, drinking, anointing, washing, and marital relations. We learn them out from a pasuk and hint to that in number three. Hanichamesh enuim kineged mi. Says the Gemara in Yomah, what are these five afflictions correlate to? Where do we learn them from? Amar Rav Chisda, kineged chamisha enuim shebetorah. The five times that is mentioned about this mitzvah that we have to afflict ourselves. And it goes through the five ones, different psukim. I'm not going to go through them all now, but five times this mitzvah of affliction is mentioned. Chazal saw in that a remnant, a hint, the five afflictions. Of course, on a halakhic level, only two of them are min haTorah. The prohibition of eating and drinking, that's min haTorah. But otherwise, the other ones are on a rabbinic level. Now, the concept of Yom Kippur, as it's envisaged by Chazal, is very interesting. Let's go to source number five. Source number five is a famous one, but it deserves to be re-examined. Amar Rav Shimon bar Gamliel, Lo yihayu yamim tovim li Yisrael kachamisha asa ba'av v'chadom kippur. There was no greater Yom Tov in the Jewish people than Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, and Yom Kippur. What did they do to mark this greatest Yom Tov of the year? Shebahem, because on these days, including Yom Kippur, Benoit Yisrael Yotzeis B'Chalei Lavan, the daughters, the women, it was Women's International Jewish Dancing Day. The women of the Jewish people went out wearing white, Benoit Yerushalayim Yotzeis B'Chalei Lavan, they would dance Israeli dancing in the vineyards below Yerushalayim. B'Chalei Hu Omer, it says, Sena V'Rena, Sen Urena Bnei Tzion, the Melech Shlomo about Tara Shehasra Lai Imai, but Yom Chasanato Yom Simchas Livon. This pasuk is used. This pasuk, Sen Urena Bnei Tzion, that the children of Yerushalayim have to go out and dance because this is the day on which Shlomo HaMelech was crowned. It's described as Yom Chasanato, the day of God's wedding and the day of the joy of His heart. But Yom Chasanato Zomah Santora, the day of marriage is Matan Torah. Will be Yom Simchas Livoi, the day on which Hashem is the happiest, as it were, in the sense of things. Zed Binyan Beit HaMikdash. This is the day on which the temple was built. Sheivale Bein Perev Yameinu Amen. This is the end of the Mishnah in Tanis. Somehow or other, Yom Kippur, the happiest day of the year, marked by the women of Yerushalayim, I think we ought to restart this minhag, maybe. And we have to do it under the radar screen, otherwise we've got people throwing rocks at us. But maybe we should start the minhag again of the women of Yerushalayim go down from Yerushalayim and dance the day away in the fields and the vineyards down below Yerushalayim. If you think about this for a second.
The young ones.
You know something? Young is a relative concept. So I consider for these purposes anything under 80 is young. Okay? So so you can work that out for yourself. But without any question, this was a women's day. This was a celebratory day. By the way, I was led to believe that I should feel very privileged because for the last few years, you've only had women speakers. So I apologize that I'm not a woman. Can I do? I'm sorry. But nevertheless, hopefully, I can be a good substitute. But this was Women's Dancing Day. And it is the day of Hashem's joy for the building of the Beit HaMikdash. What's this got to do with building the Beit HaMikdash? What has Yom Kippur got to do with the building of the Beit HaMikdash? The Matan Torah, of course, which day was the Torah given? Yom Kippur. Anyone who said Shavuot, wrong. Because the Torah was not given on Shavuot, at least not the Torah that we ended up keeping. The Torah that was given the meeting on Shavuot was a meeting that ended in disaster with the Chet HaEgel. The Torah that we actually got was the Torah that was given on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is the day of Matan Torah. So that's what the first thing it says. That's when Moshe came down with the second Luchos. But it's also the day of Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Look at the commentary of the Tosfos Yonzer in source number 6. Their Binyan Beit HaMikdash, how so, he says. Perish HaRav, the Rav is Rav Avadio Basanuruk. Shenitchanech b'Yom Kippur. The temple was inaugurated on Yom Kippur. Kleimer, meaning, Shegam Yom Kippur Haya B'Tzoyich Yimei HaChinuch. Yom Kippur was included in the day of inauguration of the temple. If you look there, it is clear from the Pesukim in Malachim Aleph Siman Ched. V'yaz et ha'chag, they made a special celebration when they built the Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech, Shivat Yamim, V'Shivat Yamim. 7 days plus 7 days. How does that work? Well, first the Gemara de Moed Tatan, and the Gemara de Moed Tatan explains the Shivas Yamim HaYachinuch Chaydem, the Shivas Yamim HaYachinuch. There were 7 days of Chinuch, of dedication of the temple, before the 7 days of Sukkot. So it turns out, he says, V'nitza Shebashiv'a B'Tishrei, on the 7th of Tishrei, which, by the way, is today. Today is the 7th of Tishrei. Shehem Shnei Yamim Chayim Yom Kippurim, Hitchilu Yimei Chinuch. Today is the anniversary of the beginning of the opening ceremony of the Beit HaMikdash. If you watch the opening of the Olympics, that was nothing compared to the opening of the Beit HaMikdash. 7 days, starting today, up to Sukkot, plus another 7 days of Chag, and Yom Kippur was included in those 7 days. And he says here, we call Mokum, Mikra Yom Kippur, who Simcha Sivoy. Yom Kippur is specifically singled out as the day of Simcha, of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Loyal in Yikote Sharyum, not to minimize the Simcha on the other days, and the Sha'al Kopanim Hayahu Yom Chedv, but to make sure that you understand that even though it's Yom Kippur, or especially since it's Yom Kippur, it was a day of Chedva. How do you translate Chedva? Joy. It is very interesting. They say that every culture has a lot of words for the concept that they're really into. You know, the Eskimos have, I don't know how many words for snow, that kind of thing. So what do we have a lot of words for in Judaism? Simcha, Sosan, Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva. We have names for joy, like we should be the happiest people in the world. But every single different kind of Simcha, Sosan, Gila, Ditsa, Chedva has a different word for it. So this was a day of Chedva, the Simcha of Chinuch, and the Simcha there of the Chinuch. So you might have thought, you might have had a Hava, I mean, you might have imagined that Yom Kippur, oi, have to take a break from the Simcha for Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur, serious, like it's a serious day. Fasting, etc. Inui, affliction, torture, maybe. No, Chas v'Chalila. Yom Kippur is the climax of the Simcha. It's the day of Chedva. In fact, interestingly, on this Yom Kippur, when they built the Beit HaMikdash, the fast was cancelled. For everyone. There was no fasting that Yom Kippur for anyone in the Jewish people. Which is interesting. How can they do such a thing? How can they override a verse in the Torah which says there's a mitzvah to fast? So it's a whole sugya how that works. The Navi has the Sanhedrin, has the ability to override a mitzvah in the Torah on a temporary basis. But it's clear that this mitzvah, the fasting, was overridden, and this indeed was the happiest day of the year. And therefore you see from here all the indications that Yom Kippur has to be the happiest day of the year. Not just because it's my birthday, but because it's the day of the Simcha of the Beit HaMikdash. So how does that square with Inui? At the end of the day, we still have to afflict ourselves. How can we afflict ourselves and yet reach this pinnacle of Simcha to which people just want to go dance the whole afternoon away? So as we know on a halakhic level, Yom Kippur is classed as one of the days of Simcha of the Regalim. Look at number 7. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is said the She'iltas. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now the Vakle Gezerah Shiva. Someone lo yaleinu is sitting Shiva. So as is well known, Shabbat does not cancel out a Shiva. Shabbat counts as one of the days of the Shiva. Because there's no din of Simcha on Shabbat. There's a din of Oneg, there's a din of Kovod, of all these ideas on Shabbat, but not Simcha. Whereas Yom Tov, that's the end of the Shiva. Kevan the Yisbo, Simcha, since Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have Simcha, Kuregalim, just like another Yom Tov. Teragalim Dabu Masi. They are like the Yom Tov, and they interrupt the Shiva. And even though we don't say Hallel on Yom Kippur, and we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, that's not because they're not days of Simcha. Look at the Rambam in number 8. Aval Rosh Hashanah the Yom Kippurim, Ein Behem Hallel. There's no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why? The Fisha Hengi Nei Tshuva. Because these are days of Tshuva. The Yira. And there are days of awe. Uchachad. And these are days of seriousness and fear. V'loyim Mei Simcha Yaseiru. They're not days of excessive Simcha. But they are days of Simcha. Simcha Yaseiru. No. But Simcha. Simcha still applies on all of these days of Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, etc. And that's why we somehow have to find a way of introducing the Simcha into Yom Kippur. And hopefully we will try and understand how now that goes together with this idea of Inui. What is Inui? So let's try and define the terms. Look at number 9. Very interesting mention here to the Rebbe Lezer. Talks about Moshe coming down on Yom Kippur with the Luchos, with the Torah. Look what he said. after 40 days of the event, Lakach et HaTorah, Moshe took the Torah, the Lukas, the Ten Commandments, but Yara Be'et HaLachot, she came down on the 10th of the month, but Yom Kippurim, in Chilam Bnei Yisrael L'chok Olam, he gave this Torah to the Jewish people for an eternal rules, for eternal law, as opposed to the first book of the Torah. Rabbi Zechariah Omer, Karu B'Torah, they read in the Torah, Umatzum, they found Ksimba that it says about Yom Kippur that Inita Nesnash Shoseikam, that you have to afflict yourself. Heviru Shofar Banachar, they machana, they blew the shofar, and we'll see soon the link between Yom Kippur and blowing the shofar, for Yom Kippurim. The Karu Tanis, the word Tanis, of course, is from Inu. They declare the fast, B'chol Yisrael, Mikotan Ba'ad Gogol, from the least to the greatest. She'elule Yom Kippurim, Loi Haya Olam Oimim, because without Yom Kippur, there would be no world, because there would be no Torah. She Yom Kippurim, Mechapel Kol Ha'Aveiros. The Simcha, the Midrash expresses this idea that even the Jewish people on a Midrashic level, I don't think it's necessarily meant to be a historical account, but on a Midrashic level, the Jewish people's response to receiving the Torah was, let's fast. Let's fast. Let's not eat. That's a strange response, an interesting response. The Simcha response is to declare an inui, to declare this fast. We will see very clearly that there is no indication that inui is meant to be hard. We see this clearly starting here from number 10. Inui is meant to be something which is enjoyable. This is very interesting, Rosh, number 10. Tanya Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Midichi. V'inita nesnash yoseichem b'tishabat l'chadesh. What does it mean you will afflict your soul on the 9th of the month? Do we fast on the 9th? We don't fast on the 9th. Why does it say fast on the 9th? V'haloi v'asara mitzah. We fast only on the 10th. L'landach ha-shekol, this is very famous, we'll come back to it later. Shekol ha-oichel v'shoyte boi. Anyone who eats and drinks on the 9th, it's as if they did inui on the 9th and inui on the 10th. But there was eating, the meal that we have before Yom Kippur on the 9th, it itself gives expression to the inui, and it's as if we did inui on the 9th and on the 10th. Kaloma, what does that mean? So the Rosh explains. Prepare yourselves on the 9th. To become strong through eating and drinking. Why? So that you fast properly tomorrow. Laharos, to prove, to show, how much God loves the Jewish people. Ka'adam Shigesh Lagele, like someone who has a son, Yele Chashud, a child that they love, a dear child. But God are allowed to eat Yom Echad, and the child has to fast Nebach one day. But similar Achilo Lashkosa, so the father or the mother says, you must beforehand, you must eat. Jewish parent, okay? You must eat Erev Yom HaTanis on the day before the fast, Kedesh Yuchal Mitzvah, so that you'll be able to fast properly. In other words, like Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us, I don't want Yom Kippur to be hard for you. Chas v'chalilah. You must eat on the 9th, because through eating on the 9th, you'll be able to properly appreciate Yom Kippur. And you're meant to eat a lot, so that you don't even feel you need to eat on the 9th, on the 10th. It's very interesting. The idea of Tzom Kal, people say to each other, Tzom Kal. It should be an easy fast. In many ways, the only tzom that's really applicable to is Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is meant to be an easy fast. It's meant to be a fast that makes you want to jump up and dance in the vineyard. And therefore we eat on the 9th so that we won't feel like we're fasting on the 10th. That's the whole idea. I don't know about you, but Kol Nidre, I wish to kind of feel the sense of kind of, you know, Kol Nidre, you know, when you're just eating in the middle of the afternoon, you know, the whole Shabbos dinner, challah, the chicken and the whole soup and the whole thing, you go to Shulam Kol Nidre. Tisha B'Av, I'm not sure you meant to say Tzom Kal. It's meant to be hard, isn't it? It's meant to be a taste of Gehenna. It's meant to be a taste of something which is uncomfortable, something which is sour, something which is painful. Tzom Kal doesn't really have an application on the other fast. On Yom Kippur, it's meant to be the easiest fast. It's meant to be the most simple fast, and therefore that's why there's a mitzvah to eat doctor on Erev Yom Kippur, to make the fast easier. The Gemara debates how we're meant to fast, how we're meant to do the inu. How would be a very interesting source of number 11? Ta'anu et nashay seyir. Afflict yourselves. And let's now define what this means. Says the Gemara, Yochel, you might have thought, Yashav b'chama, maybe we should sit in the sun. Or with cinnamon, maybe we should sit in the fridge. Kideshi yitzara, so that we'll be in pain. I don't know, let's think of the things that we least enjoy, and let's do them on Yom Kippur. Let's whip ourselves. Let's roll in the snow. Let's sit in the sun till our head hurts. Let's do these things because God told us to afflict ourselves. Says the Gemara, that's not what it's all about. We don't learn affliction like that kind of affliction. It says, maybe we should learn inui from what the mitzvah did to us. That's why we see inui in the pasuk. Bichsev, as it says, v'yar et anyenu. A little bit of Pesach comes through. God saw our affliction. How did the Egyptians afflict us? They whipped us, and they made us build pyramids. Maybe that's what we should do on Yom Kippur. Build pyramids, whip ourselves, do something. So the Gemara, no. Ella, we don't learn inui on Yom Kippur from the inui of the mitzvah. What do we learn it from? This, I think, is the most fascinating source. God is telling us to be afflicted, so we have to learn affliction from God from the only other place that it says in the Torah that God afflicts us. Not from what the Mitzvahim do. I don't care what the Egyptians do. That's not what God wants us to do on Yom Kippur. If God tells us to afflict ourselves, that's a God type affliction. What is that? We don't learn from Bidei Shamayim to Bidei Ol. So what is the place that we find in the Torah where God afflicts us? The most unlikely source. Look at number 12. It says Rashi, in Bidei Shamayim, Yom Kippurim, Mitzvah Melechi. Yom Kippur is the mitzvah of the Melech, to afflict ourselves. V'chein inui hamon. We learn it from the manna. The man. The man is an affliction. That's the kind of affliction that God gives us. So that's the kind of affliction that God wants from us on Yom Kippur. Not what the Egyptians do. So we have to afflict ourselves on Yom Kippur like we were afflicted by God when we got the man from heaven. How were we afflicted when we got the man? In fact, we were. It says very clearly in number 13, the Gemara says, when he talks about the man. Hama'achil chamon b'midbar. God gave us to eat man in the desert. Asher lo yadon avasecha. That your forefathers had never experienced. Why? Why did he give us this? Leman anoitcha. In order to afflict you. Uleman nasoitcha. In order to test you. To make it good for you in the end. So we see the man was given to us an affliction. What was so hard about the man? What was the affliction of the man?
So
you could say it's continuously the same thing, more and more and more. It's boring. Like you could say that's an affliction. And indeed, they turned around in the end and rejected the fact that they said the man was so boring and they wanted something more interesting, like a bit of meat and potatoes. But that was rejected as a response to the man. What was the proper affliction of the man? So look at what the Gemara continues. Rabbi Abi and Rabbi Asi say the following. Chav Amar, Ein Adoyme Misha Yesh La Pasta Falei, the Misha Ein La Pasta Falei. Someone with bread in the basket is not like someone without bread in the basket. What does that mean? Someone with money in the bank doesn't feel the same as someone with no money in the bank, obviously. The affliction of the man is, what are we going to feel like without any physical backup? The cupboards are empty every night. Is there going to be anything in the cupboards tomorrow morning? I don't know. That's in me. That's the idea that I have to trust that there's going to be something there. There's going to be sustenance. There's going to be physical life. Because I have no guarantees that that's going to happen. That's the inui of the man. And that's the inui also of Yom Kippur. Somehow. That has to be the inui of Yom Kippur. The Gemara wants to learn one from the other. It's not the inui of sitting in the sun and whipping ourselves and being physically afflicted. It's the mental psychological idea that we don't know where tomorrow's bread is coming from. It's a reduction in the gashmius of that nature, so we will flesh that out and see exactly what that means. We see actually the word inui in the Torah is used many times very positively. I brought you four or five examples. Have a look in number 14. Here, the mitzvah is bringing bikurim. When we bring the bikurim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, v'anisa v'amarta. Here it kind of means you'll declare. It's like a declaration. You will say, etc. The declaration the farmer makes when he brings the bikurim to the temple. It also starts with the word va'anisa va'amarta. Similarly, number 15, what does lechem oini mean? A lot about Pesach here. What does lechem oini mean? We eat on Seder now, lechem oini. The bread of?
Affliction.
Except that's not what the Gemara says. Lechem oini is Lechem she'oinin alav,
the bread on which we say, we declare many things. Rashi, Shigomim alav es ha-halel, the bread on which we say halel, for Omim alav ha-gadah, on which we say the ha-gadah. The bread, lechem oili, means not the bread of affliction, but the bread on which we're able to say halel. The response, the bread of response, where we respond in some way by saying halel, by saying the Haggadah. Look at number 60. We've had women dancing, now we're going to have women singing. V'ka'an lahem Miriam. How does Miriam's song at the sea begin? It's all 16, excuse me.
We
That's interesting.
Well, you'll have to take my word for it. Now, this is where it becomes kosher bal peh. Okay? So, Psalm 16, I've got it on my sorry. I don't know what happened to it. Must have got chopped off the. Lost in the ether somewhere. When it comes to Miriam, it says, V'ta'an lahem Miriam, shiul Hashem. Miriam did V'ta'an, she answered the word Inri. Sing to God, Kigaga, etc. And the Tarim Yonatan on the Tarim Miriam, Batarim Miriam, is the Zamrat Lohan Miriam. Miriam sang. So if you like, the Inisimis Nashor Seichem doesn't necessarily mean now you will afflict your souls. But you will sing to your souls. You will make your soul sing. It's this idea of Inuit. Now you do have number 70, right?
Yes.
Eira Hashem Batayga. The same word, Inuit. Respond to God with thanks. Sing to God with a musical backing, with a violin, with a harps and musicians. Says the Radak, Ama Kedeged Yisrael, Shiru Lashem. This word Enu Lashem means Shiru Lashem, Bapeh. The Zamru Loibakli. So everywhere we see this word, Inui, Anu, Ve'enu, etc., means singing, declaring. It's joy, there's Halel, there's Zimra, the Shira. And it's really not necessarily this idea of affliction at all. And we're learning it not from Egypt, but we're learning it very much from the man. We'll come back to that. We'll draw those strands together soon. When the Rambam talks about Inui, he takes a slightly different approach. Have a look at number 18. Mitzvah Aseh Acheret Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim. There is another special positive mitzvah on Yom Kippur. That he lishvois bo, to rest. From what? Me'achilish. Take a break from eating. Shne'emar, ta'anu et nashoseich. It's very interesting. The Rambam, of course, is picking up on the Loshon in the Pasuk, the wording in the Pasuk, which says 70 times Shabbat, 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 Shabbaton, and Tishbetu Shabbatchem. What we're resting from on Yom Kippur is not just resting from Malacha, like we do on Shabbat, resting from work, but we're taking a break from eating. And it's almost like a release. It's a treat. For a whole day we cannot eat and not drink. It's an actual release. It's a treat. Look at the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, number 19. Shabbat Shabbaton Hilachem, Be'initim Es Nashotechem, Ki'ilu Hu Yomar. It's as if it said to you, Shechayva Boi Hashvisa HaMiuchedet B'Malachos. There's a special mitzvah to rest from Malacha, V'Hamasim, and from acting, V'Hashvisa HaMiuchedet B'Malton HaGruf. And there's a special extra level of resting from eating the food that you normally need. But Kiyomoyan, from sustaining your body, Lechayom is Shabbat Shabbaton. Yom Kippur is Shabbat plus. It's Shabbat from work. And it's Shabbat Shabbaton, because it's a Shabbat also from eating. In other words, the attitude we have towards not working on Shabbat, is that towards not eating on Yom Kippur. Not that it's a chore, not that it's an affliction. Oh yeah, I can't work on Shabbos. And by the way, some people could feel like that on Shabbos. And as we know, that is something which is the wrong approach to Shabbos by a long way. Similarly, the attitude to Yom Kippur is not, oh yeah, I wish I could eat. It's, oh, Baruch Hashem, I can't eat. Another 20 hours, I won't be able to eat. It's amazing. Of course, you're hungry. But that's part of that. The reason you're hungry is to remind you that you can't eat. It's a response to remind you of the Simcha. If you think about it, it's a great feedback mechanism. Every time you feel hungry in Yom Kippur, it's another physical reminder of the simcha, the not being able to eat. What's that? Oh, of course, we're not talking halacha. We're not giving a halacha shit. Of course, there are many people that have to eat something that are taking medication, or that they're sick and they have to eat, etc. That we're not talking about that.
We're talking about the normal situation. Of course, someone who has to eat on Yom Kippur, it's actually an aveirut for them not to eat on Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah of v'chai behem, and there are many people for all sorts of reasons that have to eat on Yom Kippur. And if you have to take medication, you have to switch around. So sometimes you have to take it with a little bit of liquid, shiurim, etc., etc. I'm not getting into all the halachic issues. By the way, I think the Jewish people are sensitive to this. Often people who have to eat on Yom Kippur, halachically have to eat, they don't want to eat. One of the hardest things rabbis face is to persuade people who are sick, for whatever reason, that they must eat because they won't eat. Because, and I don't think it's because we're masochists. Often we all look for easy way out in all sorts of other areas of life. I don't know what it is. I think it's something about Yom Kippur that's almost ingrained into the Jewish mind that not eating on Yom Kippur is the essence of the simcha of Yom Kippur. How can you tell me I have to eat? There's a famous story of a rabbi, I can't remember who he was, if he's dropped an answer, whatever. He was with a patient, and the patient wouldn't eat. He said, you have to eat. He said, I'm not going to eat. He said, no, it's pekuach nefesh, you have to eat. He says, I'm not going to eat. So the rabbi said to him, right, since it's pekuach nefesh, if you don't eat, I'll eat. Because I have a heter to eat. If that's what it takes to make you eat. He says, no, you're not going to eat for me, at least I am. I'm going to eat if you don't eat. So then what do you do? I call his bluff. Because who knows who's bluffing who? Okay? So, of course, when it comes to people who have to eat, but the essence of Yom Kippur, of course, if we can, if we're able to, it's the only time in it, it's funny, it's one of the only times in the Torah that we're actually obliged not to eat. In fact, the only mitzvah not to eat in the Torah. And on the 9th of Tishri, it's one of the only times we're obliged to eat. I know that it feels like the Jewish religion requires us to eat almost all the time. But almost every single one of those examples is a rabbinic mitzvah to eat. On Shabbos, there's a rabbinic mitzvah to eat. On Yom Kippur, there's a rabbinic mitzvah to eat. On Erev Yom Kippur, there's an actual Torah mitzvah to eat. It's very rare that we find that. And on Yom Kippur, there's actually a Torah mitzvah not to eat. So it seems that eating is part of the whole essence of the simcha. And we'll draw it together soon when we look at the Maharal. There's one last idea which I want to bring you, of Yom Kippur being a day of release, of Shabbaton, of Shvita. You know, when you make Aliyah, the first word they used to teach you anyway, Shvita. Like, where's my lip? Where's my ship? Where's my ship? Oh, yes, Shvita, in my eyes. Okay? So Shvita, this idea of release, is very important too. What is Yom Kippur famous for? Apart from the mitzvah of not eating and drinking, the mitzvah, it's famous for the mitzvah of the freeing of the slaves. It's the day of freedom. Have a look here at number 20. This is a roundup. Mirosh Hashanah. This is Niyodal year, every 50 years. Of course, we don't have this today, but we will have it once we get the Beit HaMikdash. Mainly, Mirosh Hashanah, Ad Yom HaKippurim, Loi Hayo Avodin Nitarim Levate. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the slaves that were working, the indentured servants, they weren't free yet to go home. The Loi Nishavdin La'adonai, but they weren't required to work either. This period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur that we think of as tshuva, serious things. If you were a Hebrew slave in Eved Ivri, this was the 10 days that you've been looking forward to. You weren't free to go, but you weren't required to work. So what did they do, said the Rambam? The Loya Sadat closes the name, the fields didn't go back yet to their original owners. Ella, what happened? Avadim oichim v'shoisim utsmeichim. The Avadim ate and drank and rejoiced. That actually stay in Barashayim and wore their crowns on their heads. The came and shake in Yom Kippurim, and when Yom Kippur came, Tikru bathed in the shofar, they blew the shofar, Nitzur Abad in the Bekehim, and that was the day they were able to go home. The 10 days leading up to Yom Kippur were leading up to this release, 50 years in the waiting. That's a long time to wait to get off. But now, these 10 days of simcha relating to the shofar blow, and the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur, we always associate the shofar with Rosh Hashanah, but of course the mitzvah of shofar in the Torah is also on Yom Kippur. And it's more than Rosh Hashanah. Look in number 21 in the Rambam. Halachas of Yom Kippur, look at it, Shvita v'Yovel. Mitzvahs after Yitzchoy v'Shofar, v'Asiri l'Tishrei v'Shnata Yovel. It's a positive Torah mitzvah to blow the shofar on the 10th of Tishrei, not Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur, in the Yovel year. Well, mitzvah zu, this mitzvah, Masur le Beis Din, Tchila, ideally the Beis Din had the mitzvah, Shneema v'Avar v'Shofar Tshuva, v'chol yochid v'yochid chayav v'tzvah. But actually, every individual Jew is required to find Shofar below it. Shneema v'Aviru Shofar. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, there is no mitzvah on every individual to blow a Shofar. What is the individual mitzvah? They hear a Shofar. That's why the bracha on Shofar is Nishmoy v'chol Shofar.
on Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of shofar and yovel, is actually a mitzvah of every individual to find a shofar and to run into the street and blow it. It must have been an incredible thing. On yovel year, everybody carrying their own shofars and blowing them in the streets. Must have been a very strange thing to experience. We have a slight remnant to this now, at the end of Yom Kippur. The reason we blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur is not just to signify now that's the end of the fast, but it's a hint to the blowing of the shofar on the Yovel year on Yom Kippur that we no longer have anymore, but we can at least slip in at the end of Yom Kippur before it's quite finished, but after already, you know, the Yom Kippur is almost over. So all of these ideas together, let's think what we've got putting together. Yom Kippur is the day of Simcha, National Dancing Day, the day of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. Yom Kippur is the day of Inui from Hashem, meaning this idea of the lack of physicality, nothing in the cupboard, no ability to know what's going to be there tomorrow morning. That's the affliction, which actually is a reflection of all sorts of ideas of Zimra, Shira, Chedva, of all these things. And also finally this idea of Shabbat, resting from eating, resting from drinking, and freedom, this idea of freedom of being let loose and released. These are all the ideas which are associated with Yom Kippur. Let's draw them together and see what the Maharal makes. There's a very interesting Maharal. Sorry, it's slightly small print. But you have to just pop your reading glasses on. Okay, 22. Says the Maharal. Kol ha-mitzvot she-tziva Hashem yis'aleh b'yom godol ha-kodesh. All of the mitzvot that we find on Yom Kippur, all of these mitzvot, ha-kol le-salik ha-guf ha-miut, are all designed to remove physicality, Shabbat Adam in a person, actually who can mind Malach Gabriel, until they're almost like an angel. That's why we require to afflict ourselves. Hakol kedei l'salik l'mahed, to reduce and to remove, if I go off the physicality, actually Ya Adam kodesh to my Malach, like a person, until a person is almost like a Malach. Kol chamisha inuim haksuvim b'Torah. All these five inuim which are written in the Torah, we saw the hints of them before. Hein lema'ev et hagufaniyut min haneshama is to remove physicality from the neshama. Achehi kedusha kedusha legamim until the neshama is completely sanctified min haguf from the body. Ka'ashe royal neshama like the neshama should be. V'chein tipsa oy kol ma'ase Yom Kippurim hakol. All everything we do on Yom Kippur, he says. Everything is to reduce the physicality, just to try and leave our bodies if we possibly can. That's the day on which the only day of the year the Kohen Gadol is allowed to come into the inner sanctum of the Kodesh Kedoshim. That is the most sanctified place, and the least physical place. The least physical place, if you actually add up the measurements of the Kodesh Kedoshim and the Aron Kodesh, you'll find that it doesn't fit in. It doesn't fit. Physicality seems to actually kind of shrink, or the world of physicality ceases to have full effect when you get to the Kodesh Kedoshim. And you've ever heard the idea that the Lechem Apanim, the bread that they put out every Shabbat, the next Shabbat was still warm from the Shabbat before. How can that be? Because in the temple there's, if you like, a reduction of physicality to the almost pure spirituality. And therefore, this is what we're aiming for on Yom Kippur. L'kachu kodesh kedoshim, therefore Yom Kippur's kodesh kedoshim, lo yasham racha aron lo yom. The kodesh kedoshim was holy, there was only the aron there, asher sham l'noch maluchay, etc., etc. Only the luchay is that Torah, ha-sichlit, which is intellectual, asher ein l'toyra shehi sichlit, shum in yal ha-geshim. Torah is an intellectual pursuit. Torah is something that happens in the mind, and the mind is a totally non-physical thing. And therefore, all of these ideas of Yom Kippur are really to focus entirely on the mind, on the thought, on the ideas of connection, of being a malach. What is a malach? What are we in the next world? It's very interesting. There's a Rambam I brought you, I think, the Gemara. Look at number 25 for a second. Look over the page in number 25. How do we understand Olam Haba? Olam Haba, Ein boi lo yachila, v'lo yishtia, there is no eating and drinking, v'lo piria rivia, and there is no reproduction, there is no physical life, but like matter or matter, there's no business, but like kina, but like sinner, but like tacharut, there's no competition, there's none of the things in the physical world that we have. Ela tzadikim yoshim, where the tzadikim sit, of course they don't really sit because there's no physicality, that actually sehim baroshehim, and their crowns are on their head, but of course they don't really have heads or crowns, V'ne'enem ziv ha'shchina, and they bask in the light of the Shechina. When the Rambam brings this halacha in Mishnah Torah, he explains that the crowns of the tzaddikim is the knowledge, the understanding that we acquired in this world, which is purely spiritual, which is non-physical. That is what we carry with us to Olam Haba. What are we in Olam Haba? We are a disembodied version of the brain, of the knowledge, of the mind, of the personality, of the consciousness that we gained in this world. That is what is left to us. That is the real us. On Yom Kippur, says the Maharal, everything is coming to try and minimize everything else, to release ourselves to be pure mind, pure intellect, pure thoughts. To think about everything, to think about our life. We don't have to be bogged down by eating or drinking or any of the other physical things in life. What kind of we've got on our feet and what we wear. None of it's relevant. All that's relevant is a day of connection on a sikhli level, on an intellectual level, on an emotional level, all of these things that happen purely through the mind. And therefore, that's what all of these ideas are coming together. This is the inui. This is the idea of affliction. It's nothing to do with hurting ourselves. It's to do with minimizing and removing all of these physical bars to be able to learn and understand and connect with God and Kippur. Rav Zev Lev pointed out an interesting thing, which is that Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are identical, apart from two things. On both of these days, we don't drink, we do all the same five things apply, apart from two things: Torah and Shalom. On Tisha B'Av, there's no connection with anybody else. You're not allowed to greet anybody else. You're just one isolated person without any connections. And you can't learn Torah. You can't do anything with this thing in your head that you dare to learn Torah. Yom Kippur is exactly the same, but with these two things put back. Connection, the ultimate connectivity, and the ultimate idea of reconnecting with the mind, which is learning Torah. That's the difference between Gehenna and Gan Eden. Gehenna and Gan Eden can be the same, but just one is without Shalom and Torah, and one is with Shalom and Torah, and therefore Yom Kippur is this incredibly heightened spiritual state, which is meant to result from, be helped by, the lack of eating and drinking. I just want to finish off with an idea which perhaps gives this ultimate expression. Have a look in number 26, please. Part of the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is not just the not eating and the not drinking. It's the eating and the drinking on the night before. That's also part of the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, Minat Torah. There's a very famous limit in the Gemara in Yom number 26. Beneath the Mesnach Shaseich and the Tisha L'Chodesh. Hakeitzer, how does that work? How do we afflict ourselves on the nine? So it says, Matzil Mit'anim Be'Oidyon. We have to start the fasting already when it's the night. We have to add on to Yom Kippur from already the day before. We fast from Tuesday afternoon. No, we don't wait till it's Tuesday evening. And he says, the Gemara says then, you can't shemot deep in Michal L'Chodesh. We have to add from the whole to the Kodesh. We have to take a little bit of chol, add it onto the Kodesh. That's what we get from that posik that you have to start on the 9th. And by the way, we learn this after Shabbat, we learn this after Yom Tov, this idea of bringing in Shabbat a bit early, bringing in Yom Tov a bit early. We learn it all from Yom Kippur. So the Gemara then goes on to say, Hai Tisha L'Chodesh my Abine. So what are we doing with this idea of the 9th? Why that from the 9th? Mibo'ole, we're using this like in the Tani Chia Barba Rabbi, as we saw before. The Tani Chia Bar Rav Midifti, the Inisa Mesnashre Seichem, Bekisha, what does it mean? Tisha Nitzanim, do we really fast on the 9th? Bahaloi Be'esel Nitzanim, we really fast on the 10th. El Eloi Melechad, it tells us, Kala Eichel V'Shoyse V'Tishi'i, anyone who eats and drinks on the 9th, Ma'ale Alav HaKosav, it's as if, Ki'ilu Hitzanim HaTishi V'Atziri, it's as if they afflicted themselves on the 9th and on the 10th. It's amazing. Eating on the 9th is as if you fasted on the 9th and fasted on the 10th. It seems to be better than Yom Kippur. So look at let's finish with the Shemi Shmuel. The Shemi Shmuel says a fascinating thing. Two Shemi Shmuels here, one of the Hasidic thinkers, Sokhachov, says as follows in number 27. Venera, it seems to me, the Tarati Drosh is Bechav Mitzlisak. These two ideas come together, the idea of adding from Kol to Kodesh, and the idea of eating on the 9th, they actually come to express the same thought. Because when we eat and when we drink, it's as if we afflicted ourselves. Why? Because generally speaking, eating and drinking is one of the most physical things we do. Because in the next world, there is no eating and there's no drinking. There's no physicality. Ubeinu Shayyom HaKippurim,
And the whole point of Yom Kippur is to become Me'el Olam Haba, almost like Eilam Olam Haba, Derech Kodesh, which is Kodesh. And he brings in the bracket that we might have even thought that Shabbos was like this. We might have even thought we're not allowed to eat and drink on Shabbos, because Shabbos is also Me'el Olam Haba. Speaking of on the last line, after the bracket, Uma da Amras Achilas Shal Erev Yom Kippurim Nitoisefes Aleinu. And when we say, therefore, that eating on the 9th is adding to the affliction, it's as if we afflicted ourselves on the 9th and 10th, Zeh Asman Inin Hosaf Michal HaKodesh. This is what it means by saying you're adding from Chol to Kodesh. In other words, adding from Chol to Kodesh doesn't just mean we're adding a little bit extra of Yom Kippur on the 9th. It means the eating and the drinking on the 9th is part of the Kedusha of the fasting on the 10th. And he finally finishes off by saying in number 28, "Achilas erev Yom Kippurim, he has shlomas haguf achilas shal mitzvah." The eating on erev Yom Kippur is the perfection of the body by an achilas shal mitzvah. The Yom Kippurim who shlemas haseichel, and Yom Kippur is the perfection of the mind. And therefore, you see the two mitzvahs go together. They're a beautiful pair. That just as the fasting on Yom Kippur, as we said just now, is designed to give us a simcha of release from Olam Hazeh, the idea of being free and allowing ourselves to be released like the slaves, of resting from eating and drinking, and that's what's giving us the ability to really focus on thinking, take all the blood that normally goes to our stomachs and send it to our heads and use it for thinking. Similarly, the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur achieves the same thing, but with the food and the drink. So which is more Kaddish? Erev Yom Kippur or Yom Kippur? So I think he's saying they're both like part of a team. That you can achieve the same on Erev Yom Kippur as you can on Yom Kippur. So actually the most important meal of the entire Jewish year is Erev Yom Kippur. Because that's the meal which gives the most Kedusha in a way which Yom Kippur reflects that as the Kedusha HaSeich. And therefore I think just in retrospect to wrap it up, I keep losing my mind.
Hello.
To wrap it up, I think we've seen a lot of ideas here, but hopefully it throws Yom Kippur into a slightly different complexion. That rather than being a day which is somehow afflicting us from eating and drinking, Yom Kippur is a day of incredible release of opportunity, and it's sometimes hard to do. But I think that the feeling hungry is actually, as I said before, a reminder of the need to do this. It's almost like an aid to Yom Kippur. That you actually have this constant reminder through the day, if you're fasting, that this is what you have to do. And just as Yom Kippur is this release from the physicality, similarly, Erev Yom Kippur is using that physicality in a way which can have Kedusha, Mechola, like Kodesh, in the same way. So what we see here is an incredible opportunity. And it's a real shame that I'm sure most of the people in this room, if not everybody in this room, but maybe most of the people that you know, realize that Yom Kippur is such a day of simcha. But to so many Jews in the world, Yom Kippur feels like a day of pain. You know, people who come to shul maybe one or two or three days a year, the day that they come is Yom Kippur, and the image that they have is people bang themselves on the chest, and, you know, it's very interesting. Rav Lev once said, you know, Slichas meant to be happy, or it was meant to be sad. So it sometimes depends on the Ashkenazi or Sephardi. The Sephardi seem to have perfected the art of happy Slichas. You go to an Ashkenazi shul during Slichas and it's all like religious. You go to the Sfarim and they're singing and dancing. You know, even the Ashkenazi manage on Yom Kippur sometimes to get into the singing and dancing. And if you think about it, what are we singing about? We're singing, you know, we did this and we did that and we did this and we did this. Why are you singing? So Rav Lev said, it's like the reason people sing when they're in the shower. Why do people sing when they're in the shower? So they sing when they're in the shower because it's nice to feel clean. And it's just you. Who else is listening when you're in the shower anyway? And it's good acoustic. My parents used to make me practice the violin. They used to put me in the bathroom because the tiles make me feel as though I'm actually much better than I really was. So I think Yom Kippur in many ways, just to sum up this imagery of singing in the shower or dancing in the fields or whatever you want to say, all of these beautiful images of happiness and simcha, this is what we're really aiming for. So I really wish us all an incredibly meaningful Erev Yom Kippur meal. So the meal is not just a way of refueling so that we can fast on Yom Kippur. The meal itself is the greatest meal of the whole year. And the Yom Kippur, even if we are fasting, even if we're not fasting, Yom Kippur should feel like a day of incredible simcha, of chedva. And maybe, you never know, if I see people dancing down in the valleys under Har Nof,
then I'll know who it is. Okay? I'll know who it is, and I won't tell anybody, but I know it's you folks counting down in the valleys. I really wish everybody here a Gemara Chasima Tova. We should have a wonderful year of Brach and Simcha. Really, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm happy to have some questions. If you have to go, I understand as well, but thank you again.
Truly.
If anyone has a question on this or anything else, yes.
Toby, of course.
Toby, yes.
Was there a Nila? Did the girls go out after
Mincha?
Was there a Nila service?
As far as I'm aware, the girls went out in the afternoon of Yom Kippur. When they understood that they'd been a kafara, once they sent the goat to Azazel, so then they went out. Was there a Nila? I'm not sure there was a Nila. Nila is a later, something that came a bit later. At the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't have all of the maybe they said Ni'ila and they gone.
But they didn't have
most of
the
mind,
did they?
What's that?
They didn't have most of the
mind. No, they didn't. There was a different material structure.
Surely, equally. Sorry.
Oh, thank you so much.
And since this is not the first Yom Kippur that we have participated in, well, certainly not for me, it is very good to think differently about the day. It's a form of fiction. It certainly is a day, not a day of fiction for me. I go to the Great Synagogue and I listen to Chaim Adler all day. But it is certainly a day of contemplation and connection. And you, Rabbi Mani, with your erudition and wonderful personality, have given us food for thought.
Oh.
Or I should say something to think about. Thank you, Rabbi Manning, and Gemar Fatima Tova. It gives me great pleasure on behalf of the Lucky Dot Group to give you a book token.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry. A book token from Pomerans.
Oh, very good, thank you.
And also a certificate to mark the occasion, which says, Hog Lucky Dot Emuna, thank Rabbi Anthony Manning for sharing his insights on the Yom Noraim at their Lunch and Learn, 6th of Tishrei, 5773, 23rd of September.
Thank you very, very much.
I haven't quite finished. Because I would like to thank you, Francis, for all you do, which is greatly appreciated. That's how you do it, and you, Rabbi Manning, even you noticed it. And
very much.
Very much so. There are no words to tell you how much we love you and we admire you. Thank you for everything. And thank you all for coming. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the kind gift. My wife always tells me before I bring any more books home, I have to bring some bookshelves home. And before I bring any shelves, I have to bring a new wall to put the shelves on. But I'll squeeze the space in. Thank you very, very much to everyone in Gemara Chasima Tova.
Well, maybe you'll see that.
Because they have a minhag.
Could do that.